Put to Psalms, the 27th chapter. And thank the Lord I had this laying on my desk, because I had something else in mind for this afternoon, and I was informed that what I had in mind for this afternoon has already been scheduled for another afternoon, and that my plans needed to change. So I said, well, I need to retire to my office, because I got to go see if I can find something to bring these fine folks for this fine afternoon. And I had this on my desk. I'd already kind of looked it over. That don't mean it's going. Don't mean nothing. It just means it was there, and I'd already wrote down some scriptures and a few little thoughts, and so we're just going to bring it to you this afternoon. It's a beautiful day to be in love with Jesus, and it's just good to know that about our salvation today. I want to just talk to you a little bit about our common salvation. Psalms, the 27th chapter, and the first verse. For just a briefly moment today. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, and of whom shall I be afraid? Father, today again, we ask, Lord, that you would anoint your messenger. Help us, Lord, to bring this sermon in a way that would be beneficial to each one that would hear it. And Lord, that would bring glory to your name, and Jesus' name, amen. The Lord is the believer's light and salvation. Do you understand what I just said? He's our light and our salvation. That means when Jesus came, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He came into this world to shine light upon a heart, our hearts, that were in need of a Savior. Until he did that, there was no hope for the Gentiles. You and I were lost, undone, without hope, in this world. Do you understand that if Jesus had not come, you wouldn't have the opportunity to be saved? You wouldn't have had the opportunity. You might have been able to convert to Judaism. They may have accepted you. But can you imagine what this world would be like if we were all doing the old rituals? I mean, there are still people trying to practice Judaism today in this world. They're trying to do the things that God told them to do and live according to what God's Old Testament word said. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He came to give us life. He came to shine light into our desperate, dark hearts that were without a Savior. I mean, that's excellent to think that God, in his infinite wisdom, it says before the foundation of the earth, before he even created earth, he already had devised a plan. He had already devised a way that people could be reconciled to him. He knew Adam and Eve was going to fail. He knew they were going to fall. He knew they were going to disappoint. He knew there was going to be murder and mayhem because of what they did. And he already had a plan, a perfect plan to save us. Jesus and God had already sat down at the board in their boardroom in heaven. And they had discussed exactly what would need to be done to bring people to him. What it would take to reconcile the whole world back to God. To bring it back into this perfect harmony. Now, we're not there yet, although we're saved. We're in harmony with God. We've been born again. We've been set free. This world's not in perfect harmony with God. But God, even right down to the minute details, has made a way and has a plan to bring this world back into his perfect condition. He's going to do that one day. But he's shown light into our life. Jesus is the light of our redemption. Sweet is the song I'm singing today. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm glad for the redemptive work of Jesus Christ at Calvary today and yesterday. And Jesus said, Jesus Christ, the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. He's the same Savior, the same Deliverer, the same Healer. He's the same as he ever was. Jesus said he was the light of the world in John 8, verse 32, 8 and 12. John chapter 8, verse 12, he says this, and then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. Jesus is the true light. No other light. There's all kinds of light. We've got light in this room, and we flip a switch and it comes on as long as it's hooked up to the right energy source and everything's working the way it should. But Jesus is the light that lights the world. He's a light that shines in darkness. He's the one that delivered us out of darkness into His marvelous light today. Jesus is the light of the world. And everybody that follows Jesus has been delivered from the darkness of sin, the darkness of the world, and the dominion of Satan. I'm glad for that. Jesus shone His light into my life when I was lost, undone, and headed to a devil's hell. I was heading there. I was going to go there just as sure as I'm speaking to you today. But all of a sudden, one day, the light of Jesus shone abroad into my heart, and He illuminated my sin, and He drove me, He pulled me, He drew me by His Spirit, and I fell on my knees, and I asked Him to forgive me, and His light came into my life. Amen. Praise God for that today. And all of you can identify, when I talk about me, I'm not trying to make me big and you little, or make me big and God small. I'm just trying to bring you, just use what I know to let you know. It all applies to you too. When God came in, Jesus came in, He shone His light into your life. He is the illuminating factor. He did bring salvation. And I'm telling you, He tells us in verse 31 of this same chapter of John, He says, if you continue in My word, then you are My disciples indeed. And we must continue in His word. Verse 32, it said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Secondly, this small brief sermon today, He was a light that shone forth into the darkness. We've talked about it already, but let's read Luke chapter 2, verses 30 through 32. It says, and this is Simeon and Anna. They were waiting for the birth of a Savior. They were looking for Jesus, and Simeon took Jesus in his arms and blessed God, and he said this, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. He had looked for this his whole life. Simeon, being a just and devout person, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Bible said the Holy Ghost was upon him, and he was looking for this salvation. He had heard about it. He had prayed about it. I think it had been revealed to him through the Holy Ghost that one day there would be a Savior that would be the Savior of the world and of Israel. And he said, when he held Jesus in his arms, he said, mine eyes have seen salvation. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad today that your eyes one day were opened and your light was, your heart was illuminated by the light of Jesus, and you can say now, mine eyes have seen salvation. Amen. Thank God I'm free. Free from this world of sin. Hallelujah. To the Lamb of God. I'm glad for that today myself. Jesus, the Bible teaches us that God removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. Hallelujah. Psalms 102. Psalms chapter 102. Verses 11 and 12. Psalms 102, verse 11 and 12 says, my days are like a shadow that declineth. I am withered. That ain't where I want to go, but that's sure where I ended up. 103 verses 11 and 12. All right. That's part of what I told y'all, wasn't it? 103 verses 11 and 12. For as the heaven is as high as the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Come on now, what's that mean to you? I talked about this recently, and I might even preach this here a while back. I don't know. I don't remember. If I don't remember, you probably don't either. It's the truth, and you know it. Far as the east is from the west, there's a north pole and there's a south pole, right? If you head east and west, you never can come to the end of it. It don't end. It just keeps it going. It's just a big old circle. You'll never catch up to your sins, and God will never bring that. He'll never stop the world from revolving, and your sins are removed from you. You can't go back. You can't catch them. You might create some new ones, but you can't get the old ones. I'm glad that my sins is far removed from me. There's a no fishing sign. I mean, I know that's a problem. I'll probably read that scripture in a minute, but there's no fishing. You don't need to be bringing up what I used to be. Come on, if it's under the blood, we need to leave it under the blood. Now, I'll tell you something. I think there are some sins and there's some lifestyles and there's some things that maybe we do, especially as ministers, that might disqualify us from ministry. We got to be careful about that. Understand me. Come on now. Come on, especially if you're doing them while you're in the ministry. Might disqualify you from ministry. But I tell you what, there's still forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Still forgiveness in the name of Jesus. And every one of our sins have been forgiven. And they're as far as the east is from the west today. I am glad for that, aren't you? God completely cleanses us from the stain of our sin. Look at Isaiah, if you would, chapter 1, verse 18. And it says this, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." He said, let us reason. God didn't want to condemn and destroy his people. God didn't want people to lose their eternal soul. So he said, come on, let's reason about this just a little bit. I want to save you. Let me talk to you. Let me draw you. Let me lead you towards salvation. And he said here, and so he just offers full forgiveness to us, and he completely, if you'll accept it today, he'll completely cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He'll cleanse you completely. He'll make you as clean and white as snow. And I tell you what, it's available. His forgiveness is available to anybody, whosoever will. It's available for you today. I still believe if you start this way, you ought to stay this way. You get baptized and say you're a Christian, you ought to be a Christian. You ought to be growing up in the Lord and doing more and more and serving and reading and studying and going to church and being a witness and doing what you can. That's not my sermon, but I just want to throw it in for free. And so it's available to everybody. Though we've sinned, if we'll confess our sins, repent, and accept God's cleansing through the blood of Jesus, then we are born again. I'm glad I've been born again. Amen. Amen. I'm glad, aren't you? Can't you say amen to that today? Aren't you glad you've been born again? Not born by the blood of bull and goats or any something like that, some wicked, terrible sacrifice, but by the precious blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus today. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. To the Lamb of God. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 38, verse 17, he says that God throws our sins behind his back. And, well, it's what it says. It says this, speaking to Israel, but talking about Hezekiah's sickness, but he says, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." Come on now, Hezekiah had to turn his face toward the wall, and he thought he was going to die. And he's saying, God, you forgave me, and you cast it all behind you. Aren't you glad God said, hey, it's as far as the east from the west, and he's just going to cast it behind him. He's not going to remember your sin no more. If you truly repented, he's not going to bring it up. God doesn't bring it up. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. When you begin to feel that condemnation and you know you've been born again, it's not God bringing that up. It's the devil. He's trying to convince you that you have never been born again. You've never been saved and God doesn't love you. You might as well just right there stop him in his tracks and say, hold on just a minute. I don't receive this and I'll never receive this. I've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. I've repented of my sins, and as far as the east is from the west, devil, my sins have been cast away and they're behind God's back, and you you cannot bring no accusation against me today. I don't receive it in the name of Jesus. Come on, church. He condemns us if we let him. Tell him it's none of his business anymore. You're not a part of his kingdom. I'm not. I don't want to be. He don't have nothing for me. He don't have nothing I need. God remembers our sins no more either. And we cast them behind us back. Look at Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Hallelujah. I hope y'all get your motor running. Come on, if it's not, you know, I'm trying to give you some, man, this is good. You're a good preacher. Making me feel better. Praise the Lord. I feel calm. Don't you feel the pressure sometime? Don't you feel like you're not measuring up sometime? Well, quit giving place to the devil. Tell him what God says. Amen. And then Micah 7:19, here's the one that he says he cast our sin into the depths of the sea. I want to back up and read 18 too. Brother Robbie, if you would, it says this, Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. We have this picture of God up there with a big old ball bat or something, just waiting to knock us down every time we make a mistake. The Word of God right here clearly says that God delights in mercy. God is looking to show his mercy to whosoever will accept his mercy. He'll say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry for my sin. I repent of my sin. And he shows mercy. And then he says in verse 19, he will turn again and he will have compassion on us. I need his compassion. And the Bible teaches us in one passage of scripture, his mercies are new every morning. Every morning they are new. And he says, He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Every sin you've ever committed, when you ask God to forgive you, has been cast into the depths of the sea. And that's where I think it comes along, and he has posted a no fishing sign. Don't even drop a hook here. You're not going to find nothing. It's too deep for you to find. I think he'll send his game warden after you if you try to fish there. He's going to get you out of there because you have no place there, because God says it's none of your business at this point. I'm glad for that today, aren't you? He cast him into sea. In Isaiah 60 verse 1, I should say, and I'll probably close with this. Let me turn over there. I've got it written down, but probably read it wrong. Back before I typed and did, I still don't type very good, but I hunt and peck. But back before I would hunt and peck my sermons, I would write stuff down, you know, write my sermons out. Not everything I was going to say, but my scriptures and my points. And I'd get up here and I couldn't read them a lot of times. I was writing too, because I started off real good and reading real neat penmanship, but as the further I got, the quicker I'd write and the sloppier it would get. And then I'd write scripture down, and I'd write scripture down wrong. Leave a word or two out, or, you know. So now I spell check and try to check stuff out. But so that's why I want to go over here instead of read what I wrote on this paper. I want to read it out what somebody's already spell checked and made sure it was correct. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Amen. Hallelujah. Here it speaks of the advent of the Savior. Arise, shine, for thy joy, for thy light is come. He's coming. He's prophesying that Jesus is coming. He's coming down to us. It prophesies the advent of the Messiah. The glory of the Lord would come upon his people, and many Gentiles would come to the light. Jesus is still the light of the world. He still means what he says when he says, no man can come to the Father except by me. No man. There's many roads, there's many avenues, but there's only one way to heaven. Only one door, and that's Jesus. Amen? Amen. We're in a day and age where people want to assume and tell us that there's many ways to get to God, many ways to go to heaven. It's not true. It's a falsehood. It's a false doctrine. It's heresy. It's wrong. Only one way to go to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Him crucified, the blood of Jesus, still cleanses from all unrighteousness. It's still about the blood. I'm glad for Jesus today. Arise, shine, church, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Well, would you stand? Praise the Lord.